Now more with Frank Gaffney.
It's with the greatest pleasure that we welcome back one of my favorite members of the United States House of Representatives, a man who has rendered incredible service to our country over many years, notably, but not exclusively, as a pilot in the United States Air Force. He capped a 14-year career by setting the world record for round-the-world speed travel using a B-1 bomber for the purpose. He's the author of 17 books, a member in the House of two very important committees, among others, the Appropriations Committee, where he serves on its Homeland Security Subcommittee, and also the Intelligence Committee. He is Congressman Chris Stewart. He is a representative of the people of Utah, and always a pleasure to have him with us. Welcome back, Congressman. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be with you. You're a good friend, and it's always a pleasure.
Well, the pleasure's mine, particularly when we've got so much of importance to talk about. Maybe we could start with something, speaking of Homeland Security, that I know is still sort of a breaking news item. But what are your thoughts, Congressman? A lot of us have been frustrated about the folderol that's involved in getting through the TSA checkpoints. It doesn't seem as though if you're trying to sneak dangerous stuff through all those procedures, you will necessarily be stopped, at least according to an inspector general investigation. Should Americans be more than just frustrated with what they've been subjected to? And are we likely to see significant changes in that TSA program, do you think?
Well, I think it's probably too early to say, Frank, at this point. I mean, we're certainly going to pursue this. I saw the headlines last night, as I think probably you did. And it certainly raises an eyebrow. In fact, it raises a lot more than an eyebrow. We have to know, A, is this report accurate? Does it reflect broadly or in only certain circumstances? But, you know, as someone who travels every day, I have two observations on this. First is that I appreciate that the TSA does something important. It's obviously critical that they their efforts in protecting us. But I also have to ask the question, are we doing it the most effective way? Are we doing it the least intrusively to travelers, as I travel every week and on stand in line? But, man, it's a troubling report, and we've obviously got to look into it and look into it very quickly.
I guess what is particularly irritating is that we don't seem to apply a kind of triage approach to this by looking at the most probable suspect sort of demographics. And I know that's called profiling in certain quarters, but it certainly seems to work for the Israelis and others. And I think maybe this is time to revisit it in this case. Congressman, let me turn to another debacle. In Syria at the moment, we're watching as the evidence continues to accumulate that the administration's policy has really come a cropper. We've got people who we have been arming and training turning over their arms to the so-called ISIS or Islamic State. We've got evidence of more being interested in perhaps defecting to their ranks. We have evidence that some of this was actually known at the time. We were winding up arming al-Qaeda and the like. Give us a sense of what you make of what's happening there and what, as a veteran, you think we should be doing instead.
Well, I think a couple comments. Number one is you're overly generous in describing the administration's policy. I would challenge anyone to tell me what is the administration policy, because I don't think that they have one. And I genuinely mean this. I think their policy actually at this point is to punt every one of these issues for 18 months and let the next president deal with it. They half-heartedly say that we're going to confront ISIS in Iraq. They half-heartedly say, yeah, we're supporting the removal of Bashar al-Assad, but then, you know, none of these things have any cohesive strategy to them. None of them has he ever, in no case has he rallied the American people and said, we can defeat our enemies here. And by the way, we could defeat our enemies. We could change the situation in these critical parts of the world if we had the leadership that was willing to do that. But yeah, and I'm involved with these issues, believe me, with these, you know, training of those of freedom fighters or others, the insurgent groups,
so-called moderates.
The moderates, exactly. And we know when we jumped into bed with these guys that this was a very tenuous proposition. And I understand that it's a difficult and complicated part of the world, But we make things worse when we don't have a strategy and when we don't move to implement that strategy rather than just tossing around like a leaf out on the wind.
Let me turn to a slightly different but related subject, if I may. And again, our guest is Congressman Chris Stort. He represents with great distinction the people of the 2nd District of Utah. Among his many other accomplishments, he's the author of 17 books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Miracle of Freedom, Seven Tipping Points That Saved the World. And Congressman, we're being told that President Obama has in mind bringing perhaps as many as 65,000 Syrians here, refugees from the conflict that you've just described is not exactly covered in glory as far as we're concerned. The question that I have for you is, if the FBI says that it can't vet the people that we're talking about bringing in as refugees, particularly from your vantage point on the Appropriations Committee's Homeland Security and the State Foreign Operations and Related Programs Subcommittee, is that advisable in your view in terms of a refugee resettlement program?
Well, no, it's insane. I mean, it's crazy to think that we'd bring that number of refugees here without vetting them. And there's no way that Congress is going to allow him to do that. And once again, if I could come back to our earlier comments about this is what happens when you don't have a national security strategy and then implement that strategy. When you think we can lead from behind, and the result is there's all sorts of unintended consequences, and this is one of those now. But, you know, we understand that there's a refugee crisis. I mean, my heavens, Jordan has absorbed a number of refugees, which would be equivalent to the United States absorbing the entire population of Canada. And Jordan, one of our strongest allies, one of the strongest players, King Abdullah there, who is one of the strongest leaders in the region. And they are in a real bind there, and we want to help that if we can. But again, there's no way that we can bring tens of thousands of these refugees here without knowing that we're not endangering our safety by doing that. And we have to vet them. We simply have to.
Congressman, I'm struck by the fact that you mentioned others in the region who share the culture, who share the language, who share the religion for that matter, and who presumably would be places in which these folks could assimilate much better, notably Saudi Arabia. And Gulf states are not taking any refugees out of this population. And that, again, strikes me as, kind of bizarre when we're being told we must do the same. Let me switch gears one last time, if I may. We're almost out of time, but I did want to ask you quickly, as a member of the Intelligence Committee, what you make of where we find ourselves at the moment with respect to this lapsing of the Section 215 of the Patriot Act. Are we going to see this salvaged in some film fashion?
Well, I think so. And I mean, maybe this is an area where some people can agree to disagree, but I think the Freedom Act was a really nice compromise. We kind of hit a sweet spot where we recognized national security was extraordinarily important. It's a fundamental responsibility of the federal government. But on the other hand, we want to give up our privacy in order to do that. And the Freedom Act got us to that point where it eliminated the government's ability to collect this metadata. And at the same time, in extraordinary circumstances, under FISA court order, we could have gone in and searched private records if we needed to. That's why it has such bipartisan support now, including just enormous support among Republicans and among conservatives. I think where we are right now is unfortunate, and I hope we resolve this, and I hope we resolve it today, actually. It's not something that should wait longer than that.
Well, this program will air after this is perhaps played out, but we will be sort of examining it in light of what Senator Paul and others are going to do in the Senate to that legislation and others. We'll also be talking more about this with Andy McCarthy, our next guest, former federal prosecutor, as you know, Congressman Stort, who has his own thoughts on how important this kind of capability is and how dangerous it may be if we allow it to lapse altogether. Congressman Chris Stort, we appreciate tremendously what you do in the House of Representatives each day, as well as your prior service to our country in uniform. I also am very grateful to you for taking the time with regularity to come by and share with us your thoughts on these various issues. We will be very keen to hear your further considered judgment on what to do about TSA as we learn more about what's been going on in that program. Next up, as promised, Andy McCarthy joins us. We'll talk about what Rand Paul has been up to on the Patriot Act and more straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.